Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Several more important things to talk about than what I'm about to bring up first, but we've got to get this off our chest first. WWE Travis spent the last month telling us about all the factions and teams that are going to get broken up by the draft. It's every man and woman for herself. And everybody got drafted together. We had Styles, Gallows, and Anderson and Meechan together as the OC. We had the Street Profits staying together. We have Imperium staying together. We've got the three key members, not counting the Usos of the Bloodline, drafted together. What do you make of that? Is Raw going to be different, or was that just false hype, or they didn't really have everything planned out yet? Is it not a big deal, and am I wrong to even bring it up for this early in the show?
It was false hype, and I think they realized, wait a second, we have a decent thing going with our, you know, kind of decent amount of factions we've got going on and on both brands, and I'm sure NXT is. Has schism, and so that's a thing in WWE the last couple of years. Factions are prominent, and I think they didn't want to mess with that. So tonight they made a point of making sure people were gonna go, wait a second, I thought they were gonna break folks up. I thought that was an option, and then they went out of their way to make sure you understood. Oh, everybody's a package with the opening pick, and then so on.
Yeah, I mean, so much of the draft hype, because the rosters are so blended. So much of the draft hype was built around not which wrestler's going to go where, because everybody was on both. So many people were on both shows. So it's hard. Yeah.
Especially the Mania lead up.
Yeah, and I'm really post Mania. I mean, it's just that people on both shows, and so you know, and again, that sort of happens, you know, in between Mania and the draft, and it'll be that way until a week from Monday after Backlash. But so they focused on the factions breaking up, and it's not that big of a deal, other than I think fans have put a lot of thought and conversation into which faction's going to break up. Oh, I left off Bayley and company. They're together too. Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai. They were the number one group besides the Street Profits that people thought were going to be broken up. So I don't know. I mean, it's a little thing, but I bet.
I don't think it's a little thing. I think you're right that people spent the last, you know, week or two, you know, speculating, and it's just to go, huh? Like they didn't even. And something, I guess, could happen on Monday. It's not over. But not one faction, not one tag team was split up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we got that out of the way, although our listeners are welcome to vent about that if you'd like to. But we do have one of the headline stories coming out of this. This is Roman Reigns staying on SmackDown, and Cody Rhodes, the number one pick, staying on Raw. Just focusing on that for a minute, Travis, are you surprised by that? What do you make of it? Is that, in a way, the least newsworthy aspect of the draft, in the sense that it's status quo?
No, I think that's a big deal with TV rights coming up. If you look at it on that level, I'm pretty sure USA was vocal about wanting Roman Reigns or wanting the Bloodline on Raw. They were, unless I'm, you know, read things wrong, or maybe it was some clickbait, but I thought USA wanted the Bloodline. I mean, of course, why wouldn't they? The status quo, let me get my points together. Wait, I'm trying to say three things at once.
I think
pleasing USA would have been the goal over Fox, and I was ready for Roman Reigns to be on Raw and SmackDown to get that disgusting-looking championship belt that was introduced. But that didn't happen, so we'll see. I think USA and Comcast and Peacock and those guys are a lot more important to WWE than Fox, but, you know, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe they go, okay, well, Roman Reigns isn't that big a deal, not happening, even though he is. It is.
Well, and remember, and I don't think they're going to do this, but Michael Cole did mention when Triple H came out that he was once drafted to SmackDown and then traded to Raw. I think I got the order right on that once.
Never even made it to SmackDown because it was traded over the weekend or however the gimmick works.
Yeah, so maybe they wanted to plant that seed that something can still happen. I don't know, but yeah, it's interesting. So if we look
at it, won't be Bianca as that example. Like if they use it for someone else,
right.
It won't be her as champion because she cut the promo from a hotel. Like, hey, I'm glad to be back on SmackDown. So I don't think they would then.
And they'd have to move the Street Profits too, unless Vince McMahon is really being spiteful and overruling things to separate people in relationships. So yeah, so quick run out for people who aren't caught up yet in listening to our show here. Reigns, Solo, and Heyman were the first pick for SmackDown as a threesome. I know they, by the way, I know somebody might email or comment on this. They had covered through wrestler conversation in recent weeks that if you want to be drafted as a unit, you have to declare that somehow. There was some allusion to that. Yeah, I can't remember who in the segment said, oh, if you want to be a team, you better enter yourself as a team in the draft. And it was just one time.
Was it Mustafa Ali and that kind of, it was probably one of those throwaway.
Yeah, one of the throwaway segments. But the announcers didn't really lean on that. So, you know, if they want to hang on that asterisk and go, well, you know, we told you. Well, the announcers certainly were not selling the draft on that. So you have Reigns, Solo, and Heyman as the first SmackDown pick. Second pick, Bianca. So she's the Raw Women's Champion for now. She gave – by the way, in her promo from the tour, did it seem like she was saying she'll automatically become the SmackDown champion?
SmackDown Women's Champion, yeah. She's like, yeah. I'm glad to be, you know, be SmackDown Women's Champion again. And then again later, she alluded to how long she can be a SmackDown. I'm like, wait, so does her reign, her historic reign that she's on now, 380 whatever days, is that end and she starts at one again?
And does Rhea Ripley have something to say about this?
And does Rhea Ripley have something to say about this?
Yeah, that's just weird. I mean, if you're the King of England and you go visit, I don't know, France, you don't just suddenly become the King of France. Like, I mean,
there's... Yeah, it's like 12-12, you might.
Well, I guess, yeah, there you go. So Reigns, Solo, Heyman, first pick, Bianca Belair, second pick, Street Profits, third pick, Edge, fourth, Bobby Lashley, fifth, which was the most excited Michael Cole got all night. Yes! He's very excited about Lashley. Then we had the OC back, AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Meechan. And then Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai with a final pick from SmackDown. The Raw pick started with Cody Rhodes, followed by Becky Lynch, then Imperium's Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, and Giovanni Vinci. And then Matt Riddle, Drew McIntyre, The Miz, and Shinsuke Nakamura. For a second there, I was like, why are they picking Miz ahead of Seth? And then I realized, oh, that's right, Seth is part of the Raw draft pool, which, by the way, is a very clever way for WWE to avoid politics.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm thinking, why every pick, I had to keep reminding myself that half the roster isn't available or eligible, I should say, because I was like, where's Seth Rollins?
Yep.
Why is he being picked? And every other segment, I didn't check. Oh, half the roster. But yes, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh wow, they can just tell everybody, hey, look, we got two pools, and you know that's just how it is. And you gotta as a talent, you just have to buy it. That's like, well, that's how it is. And thank you, so I don't feel some kind of way. I certainly thought about it multiple times during the show.
So this has happened in past draft years where they do it over the course of two TV shows. It's really tough to get too deep into what we will be able to get into by next Monday night and Tuesday, which is new matchups and comparing how the roster shakes out. It's very preliminary right now because no matter how good it might look for Raw or SmackDown, by by Monday night, by the end of Monday night, it could seem lopsided or flip. That said, all we have to work is what we know, and it is Friday night, not Monday night. So, Travis, did it seem even to you when you look at, you know, Reigns and Cody? You consider that a trade-off. Belair and Becky, that's even. Imperium and Street Profits, that's pretty even. Riddle and Edge, two baby faces, that's pretty even. McIntyre, Lashley, two top-level stars, not quite top guys. That seems even. And then Miz and Shinsuke compared to the OC and the Bayley group. I know. I mean, it's not like apple to apple everywhere, but it doesn't seem one-sided to me.
It was as on point as if you're going for that like type of symmetry. They got there, or certainly almost got there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Imperium, yeah, the perfect symmetry isn't there with the groups, but. I thought it was a bit too on the nose with the, but that's just how it's going to be. I also thought Riddle was the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
Of the first round or whatever, this first go round, first half of the draft.
I think you can make the case that Shinsuke returning after time away. Now, again, shooting with Karrion Kross. It's not, you know, dropped into a world title program. People don't expect him to be. But to have him be drafted after Miz, for instance, and I know Miz is like, you know, this sort of iconic crossover, whatever, you know, host of WrestleMania-level guy. But, you know, from a kayfabe storytelling standpoint, I think you'd want to convey that the Raw brain trust, and we'll get into the format too because I want to get your take on that, mostly liked it, had some issues. That the Raw brain trust would choose Shinsuke, maybe ahead of Riddle, but certainly ahead of Miz. And so, you know, you can say, well, they're drafting because they want a utility guy who can help market the brand or something, you know, like outside of the realm of just picking guys based on their in-ring skill or likelihood to win a title. Yeah. But Riddle being taken ahead of Drew is another curious order on Raw. If you are wondering about politics, if I'm Drew and I'm like, okay, must be back in good graces with them, to some degree, because they could have left him out of the draft. But to have him drafted after Riddle is a little bit of a – and it's not a head-scratcher, but it's sort of like if they're committed to Drew, like winning the new World Heavyweight title, you might want to send the signal that he's a great pick and have Cole, you know, act as disappointed they didn't get Drew as he was excited to get Lashley. Your thoughts?
Speaking simply from – you know, someone that just watches the TV, and I only know what they tell me. Sure, but knowing the guy's contract is up and how just things historically have been done, I don't think he's a guy that they would go out of their way and risk. Like, okay, let's like really put the guy over and make him as happy as we can. In hopes that he resigns and that we're not building up a big star for someone else. So I didn't have any issue. I didn't even really think about the positioning, who got picked where, except Riddle. He was the only one, and I thought, that's surprising that he's not a weekend draft guy. But then you see the main event, and you're like, oh, he's involved. He's there, and they want him to be a part of things and a face of one of these shows. But Drew, and even Shinsuke, I was more surprised that he was on. Again, another one that I was surprised that he was even on, but they're certainly promoting him and carrying Cross. So.
All right, so let's pause. Let's introduce ourselves, and then we've got seven people on hold already, and a lot of conversation about the draft to get to with our callers. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, April 28th, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, the founder of Pro Wrestling Torch. I've been covering pro wrestling for 35 years in newsletter format, podcast format, and I hosted a radio show in KFN in the early 90s, and also write for PWTorch.com. My live TV reports on Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown are available at PWTorch.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night, so check that out, along with breaking news, and many other great features from our contributors. The other voice you hear tonight is Travis Bryant from the PW Torch East Coast cast. Travis, good to have you back in the co-host chair to analyze one of the bigger episodes of SmackDown in a while.
Yeah, glad to be back. I appreciate the invite, as always. Fun show as well to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to talk about with the draft, including the format and the presentation and the guest presenters. Also, the Usos came up short. We got a major twist in the Bloodline, a major development in the Bloodline storyline with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens retaining the tag team titles clean against the Usos. Solo Sikoa failing in whatever mission he was supposed to have, cut off by Matt Riddle when he came out.
I think that's the point, that intrigue of what was tonight supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Just supposed to go out there and, thumb throat both of his brothers.
I know.
Just one of them and Jay, it's intriguing. And they did a good job of making me want to see Solo do something. And then like, okay, I get Riddle doing it. It makes sense. But I kind of wanted to see what he was going to do.
I know. Yeah. So we'll delve into that as the show progresses too, I'm sure. We invite callers and emailers, people to call and email our listeners to contribute your thoughts on what's going on and the intrigue Travis feels. Do you share that? Do you have theories? The way to participate if you're live streaming our show right now is to call us. First of all, our number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. And when you call, if you want to be brought onto the show, push 1. That won't bring you onto the show. It'll flag you on our switchboard so that we know you want to be brought on, and then we'll activate your call when it's your turn. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Go ahead. Yep. I heard you begin to speak, Travis, or did I overinterpret a breath?
I was inhaling for a sneeze, and I got this.
Gotcha.
I hit you in time. Here you go, drawing it.
Oh, man. All right. So don't blame me if I talk over you from now on. I'll just assume you're inhaling for a sneeze. That's funny. All right. With all that said, let's just keep rolling here through our with the show and get to some calls. We will start with Evan in Chicago, Illinois. Evan, thanks for calling up. What is on your mind about tonight's SmackDown?
Hey, Wade, how's it going, my man?
Going good.
Good. Hey, I want to talk about the main event, but first I would like to give a special love from my heart to the WWE. I started my very first Netflix movie a couple of years back, and I got to meet a lot of people from WWE, and I was so stoked about that. So I really wanted to plug Netflix and WWE for that. I love you guys. I wanted to talk about the main event, though. I know it was about a year ago today. I was on the phone with you guys, and I talked about the Scorpio Sky versus Wardlow match for the TNT Championship, and how everybody was so down AEW's throats for booking Scorpio Sky like a transitional champion, And I said, you know what, guys? You know, at some point you're going to realize that when you really think about how numbers are against these guys, you know, you're going to get out your feelings at some point and realize that, you know, Scorpio Sky is going to win this match, especially when you got this thing with MJF and, you know, things like that happen. But it was the same thing tonight, and people were really getting down Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens thought about being these transitional guys. And I'm thinking to myself, well, besides Jimmy and Jay saying things like, you know, he's going to turn on you. I believe that would be the only factor into thinking like these guys really aren't going to stick around for the long run as tag team champions. But besides that, I believe that tag team wrestling as a product in WWE has rewired and rejuvenated. And even down in NXT, I believe there was a pulse with somebody like Brooks and Jensen holding the tag team championships because like that, going through that merger with the European championships and everything like that, they're really holding it down for tag team wrestling there. There wasn't really a lot of guys that you can look up to. They had people that were coming up from NXT, they were going to the main roster, and there wasn't really a lot of places to look for people that had that ego, that aura, that charisma, and that power that can really carry a crowd, not only a crowd, but can carry a whole locker room into a new development of style. And I really believe Brooks and Jensen has that, just like I believe Isla Dawn and Albert Fire has that. They have that spunk. They have some sort of it factor that they really carry. And I really cannot wait to see them in a division with guys like Sami and Kevin, with guys like the Usos, people that they can really be compared to and that they can really look around to for that kind of support and make a division what it really can be.
Travis, any thoughts on that?
How dare you?
What?
That was a lot. I don't know where to start with that. We went here to here.
Evan, let me have you round that into a question, because that happens sometimes with you. You got a lot of thoughts on your mind, and you throw a lot at us. So what do you want us to respond to in particular?
The transitional comment that I made, would you believe that if there was any point in time that if and when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn loses the championship, just if and when, is Kevin Owens turning his back on Sami Zayn really something that we should be focused on at the moment?
Yeah, Travis, what do you think about that? That was one of the...
I think you have to. I think it would be, if it wasn't talked about, if the Usos didn't, as heels especially, didn't try to exploit that, I think people would go, that's not very realistic. That's exactly what you would do to try to get in someone's head. I mean, even Sami was, before the match, had a look about him that was kind of... you know, reminiscent to when he was kind of had the boo-boo face after Jay or Jimmy laid into him and talked about Kevin turning on him, and he's thinking about it. So I think you have to. One, that has to be brought up.
I don't think people are talking about it as like they're just transitional chance. I think people were just intrigued with the storyline, and the Usos and the Bloodline were trying to plant seeds that – They you know, Sami can't trust KO. It was just one of the layers to the idea that Jay shouldn't be that Sami's trying to pitch to Jay, that, you know, the Bloodline aren't, you know, Roman's in it for himself and you deserve better and you shouldn't take it just because it's family. So I think that worked. I'm glad we didn't see a turn tonight. I think Sami and Kevin feuding is not yawn-inducing, but I don't think it's an electrifying option for them. I think people want to see KO and Sami together. I think if you pair Sami off in a feud with KO, Sami loses momentum. It's hard to maintain the momentum he had in Montreal, especially when Cody kind of comes in and does a good job at taking the spot as the number one babyface challenger to Roman. But I don't think you help Sami by just putting him off to the side of the KO feud, and I don't expect that. I wasn't sure what to expect from tonight's match, though. Travis, what was your prediction going into tonight, like in terms of outcome and also angle?
I assumed KO and Sami would retain, just because that's the natural progression, at least it seemed, and it is now, we know. It seemed like the natural progression of the story, of the Bloodline crumbling. I mean, I guess they could win it back and kind of do the things are all good in the Bloodline and then fall apart from there, kind of get the, but I didn't think they would take that momentum even faster from Sami and KO by having them drop the titles tonight only to have to then fight for them. I think the story right now, as obviously, is the disappointment, is that ocean of obscurity. Yeah, right. The ocean of obscurity.
It's really that what if that does it, right? That what if that really triggers the storyline to be a big moment for some people.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an if. I mean, that man said what was going to happen if they lost, and they lost. So it's like, okay, how are they going to, how is Roman going to respond to this? Do the Usos get drafted to Raw?
I know.
And they're able to kind of get away from, but do they do the turn on Monday? And is this, and is that the split? Wait, Monday Night Raw drafts Jey Uso. Could that be
the Usos forgot, because they're not tag champs, so they're not necessarily linked together. So if Sami and KO end up officially part of
Raw, they forgot to declare themselves.
Exactly. They're so stressed out about Roman. Or maybe Sami gets drafted to Raw and KO to SmackDown, but they, of course, get to float as tag champs to both brands. But as soon as they lose the belts, they can't be together. So one of them is on Raw, maybe Sami. And when KO and Sami lose the tag belts to whomever, Imperium or whatever, then Sami's alone looking for a new tag partner, and there's Jay standing around. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ways they can go with this. And, I mean, I kind of hope they shake it up and don't just stretch out the Usos sort of having mixed feelings about how Roman treats them and Heyman and Solo being cryptic. And I don't want to see that for 4 months. I like it now. But I don't want to see that drawn out where we're ready for the next big move. So the draft is a chance to, yes, shake things up. And, you know, again, I won't back down even if they break up the bloodline in the draft. I won't, or the Usos. I won't break back down from the fact that they overhyped and they should have had a faction tonight drafted that wasn't together, you know, some members of faction, so that it was clear that all the hype that could happen was fulfilled on the first night. But maybe in the end they will still live up to that, and we'll see why they spent so much time hyping it.
Maybe just Monday's the opposite of tonight, where everybody, it's just Splitsville for everybody. And maybe that happens.
Evan, anything else quick for us?
No, like I said, I'm really excited to see Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, especially Indy Hartwell come up and what that means for the future of NXT. Even the European guys, I want to see how that affects them. I want to see some new European women's wrestling, women superstars that I haven't seen before that I've already seen, but I kind of missed out on, like James. Listen, Aaliyah James. I want to see people like them. I haven't seen much of them, so just can't wait to see what the future of that holds.
Excellent. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it. Travis, you happy to see the women's division getting fortified a bit here with some NXT wrestlers? And by the way, the NXT tag champs, I love it. Oh, they're going to bring the tag belts with them? Oh, no, they're going to defend the titles before that. So they'll lose the titles before that.
Maybe. I'm not sold on them dropping the titles just to come to Raw. I think that would be the obvious thing. And I haven't kept up with NXT, but I don't think Caden and whatever Casey Catanzaro's name is now I mean, NXT as a whole is not exactly teeming with folks that you can be like, oh, they're definitely, put the titles on them. They're a definite hit. And that's the point. I get that. But those two specifically, I wouldn't need to go off on them. But I'm happy for Indy and us that we get to see Indy on the main roster. That's the one I was most excited about, and the one that got paid the least attention. She didn't get a promo. She didn't, but those two who I don't particularly care for. I did not like Alba Fire. No, it wasn't Alba Fire. Did she have a different name? Wasn't she? She was something else before, and I remember just really not liking her. And I still
Kaylee, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't stand her. And like for wrestling reasons, not I don't like her red hair or whatever. But yes, that hasn't changed much. I was excited more for Indy. She's a gem.
Yep. Cool. All right. Well, let's keep going to calls here. If you want to get in line on the phone, a couple people dropped off who aren't patient. So that means that the wait will be a little less long for you if you call now. 347-215-8558. 347-215-8558. 558. Up next, we'll go to Dave in New York. Dave, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Actually, I think you got Nick from Brattleboro here.
Oh, hey, Nick. Oh, I do. Thank you for clarifying. Nick, I'm so glad to talk to you. I was looking for your number and obviously got mixed up on the switchboard. Nick from Brattleboro is back. I asked and I received.
Yes, I've been watching everything, but it's just kind of, there's so much on, and then I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to call in, but I thought I'd call in tonight, and hopefully I'll keep calling in, but I wanted to make one general comment. The NFL draft, this wasn't. I just found it somewhat, dull. I mean, it was just the hype about it. While watching it, there wasn't a ton of excitement. They didn't have Cody come out. They didn't, they had no one come out, and except the Street Profits kind of after the. Yes, I know they've only got 2 hours, and maybe they'll be. Excuse, can you hear me?
No, I said the OC were there. Yeah, you sound fine.
There just was so little excitement, and Hunter didn't really explain anything at the beginning and didn't say what happens to the 30 people who were eligible tonight. Do they just stay? Do they get drafted later? I know this is simulated sports, but I wanted it to be a little bit more exciting and draw me in.
Yeah, Nick, let's cover that, because format-wise, one, I liked the guest presenters. You know, Teddy Long, JBL, Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, Rob Van Dam.
Michael Hayes,
yeah. So, like, who did I leave off? Did I say Shawn Michaels?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So I liked the guest presenters. I thought that was nice. I liked Triple H coming out and giving, you know, some gravitas to the moment, and I think showing the rooms with the Raw and SmackDown signs on them, the doors, with the Raw and SmackDown signs saying the Brain Thruster behind the doors. I don't need to see in the room because it's just going to be Cartoonville.
Remember when they showed us?
Yeah.
What the war room was supposed to be? Remember that garbage?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, they could have, and it would have been – I mean, they could have done it, and there's a way to do it without everyone acting like cartoon characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that we didn't have to, like – worry about that. It was just, there's people behind those doors. You'll see some of them come out. Others are people you wouldn't know. I can live with that. So I was okay with that. The NXT, showing the NXT wrestlers felt a little like an assembly at middle school. And, you know, all the wrestlers are dutifully showing up to, you know, it just feels like a college football team being told to sit down and watch tape of the game from the night.
Isn't Grayson Waller like their number one heel right now?
Yeah, and he's congratulating
like sharing and hugging Indy.
Yeah,
like,
and the thing is,
friend, like, which is great, but come on.
Everybody's just sitting there, like, acting like the audience on an infomercial, you know, from 15 years ago. Like, the rapid fire, yay, with exaggerated facial expressions. It's like, you know, you can act dignified like a normal adult and not act like you're being paid to be extra enthusiastic. So it wasn't the worst I've seen, but I still would have – it's like, you know – the old Jimmy Hart reputation where you produce WCW Saturday Night promos is like, turn it up a notch. You know, it's like, no, don't turn it up. You can. That's your character, but that's not everybody. So that's a little critique. But honestly, Nick, I thought it passed for me.
It did more than pass for me.
What?
It did more than just pass for me.
Yeah. Let me finish my thought. Don't worry, Travis.
Sure.
Yeah, it's far. But I wanted to address one thing Nick said, which is I wish they would have said that there's a whole pool of wrestlers eligible. We've shown you the graphic, and those who are not drafted on television will be part of a supplemental draft, and you go to WWE.com to find out and give us the date when that'll be revealed. I'm totally with Nick on that. I think it would have been super easy to explain and say, hey, there'll be a supplemental draft on Tuesday for those who weren't drafted now. Something like that. I don't think Nick's alone.
Do that at the end.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. He said this. It's tomorrow.
Then I got.
Oh, I missed that.
I just missed it. Just got ready for the show. Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I missed that too.
So good. So criticism retracted, and they covered that base.
They could have hit it a little more
apparently
forcefully, but
yeah. Yes, apparently so. So I will. So that said, Travis, I'm with you. I think they did a good job with this.
I think you just have to go by that audience that was in attendance.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H stood at a podium for like 8 minutes, and the crowd not only was into it, they were like ready for more. Like every time they kept, it was just JBL and Teddy Long, but people were like really into Teddy Long doing his dance, you know, the nostalgia, and everybody came out to do their act, and we got to hear some songs we hadn't heard in a while. And I thought the crowd, they were still there at the main event cheering and made that match feel bigger than it was. And it was, I thought it was a good night. And they did the draft. You know, we've got to, 17, 20 years of these things. We know the limits of where they're going to go as a company, as a TV product, like how they're going to do things. Yes, the NFL draft, this was not. Like, of course, we don't have literal unknowns and people getting drafted that have no history of professional wrestling. You know, like, it doesn't – so it's not going to be that kind of turnover and excitement. They're just reshuffling things, and you just kind of have to accept it for what it is. But for what it is and how it's been presented over the two decades, I thought this was the more fun one, certainly in the last – few years.
Nick, back to you for any follow-up. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes for the world go round. People have different, you know, different. It felt a little flat to me, but, you know, I totally accept your guys' impression of it. The other thing I want, and you guys mentioned it in the opening, Bianca was being a little bit cheeky with "I'm the SmackDown champion," and with the fact that she has a match against Io, and Rhea isn't necessarily leaving SmackDown, although it's kind of obvious she will be, and we'll get another great belt transfer in the ring. Hopefully it'll go better than Charlotte and Becky did. And the only other real point I wanted to make that, and I think this is something they're still working through, and I'll give them some time to work through it. I'm one of the deep thumbs down on the new belt, on the new title. But when Cole and what's-his-face were talking about it, Cole's going, "The undisputed heavyweight champion," and then they say, "And there's going to be a new champion." You know,
I said that Friday.
They haven't figured out how Roman can still be undisputed if there's another championship that's supposed to be on the same level as him. You know, and it's just because they added the title heavyweight world champion. I mean, they definitely need to work that out because listen, I've been watching wrestling since the 60s, okay? I worked at MTV during the Rock and Wrestling Connection. I've been through everything. And, you know, Chief James Strongbow and his stupid leg lift that never connected. But, you know, and you have to, as you were harping on the other day, I think with Jason, that you have to suspend your disbelief with wrestling. And that's fine. But they've got to work this out. They've got to get some explanation in there, or at least stop calling it undisputed.
What's the solution for that, Travis?
The solution is to forget that Triple H segment from Monday ever happened, and throw that melted class ring, that melted class ring of a looking championship away, and never show it on television again. And the thing's been working for like 3 years, having one champion, right? Well, he hasn't been one champion for 3 years, but whatever. One champion, it's worked so well, it's gotten your other titles over in a bigger way, the U.S. and IC titles. And now they're just going to, it's like Alberto Del Rio on one show and, you know, and whoever, John Cena on the other with the WWE spinner title and Alberto with the big gold belt. Like, that wasn't as good as what we've got in the last 2 or 3 years. And they're going back to a formula that I think, and then you hear about the brand exclusive pay-per-views and going back to the classic pay-per-view format. It's like, all right, I guess y'all didn't like 2022 making a whole ton of money and being super successful and selling out houses and all that kind of thing consistently. That's I think they're jumping the gun on how popular they think they can be, and they can get exposed in a year or two.
Yeah. All right, Nick, any other thoughts from you before we move on?
Last point, then I'll hang up, and I'm sorry, Kyle, if this is stealing some of your thunder. I think they missed an opportunity to split up Damage Control. It's such a dead act, and they had a great opportunity here to draft Bailey over and leave Damage Control hanging for now and potentially split them up or leave them as a tag team on Raw. And I just think they missed an opportunity. And with that, I will let you guys go. Wade, as always, thanks for all the work you do. Travis, I love you're a great listen as well. And
thanks.
Hang in there. And spring is coming to Vermont as it is to Minnesota. So let's celebrate, although we're getting a week of rain here. So.
It sounds good, Nick. It's great hearing your voice again. And check in when you got some thoughts.
Will do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Real quick, Wade.
Yeah.
Damage Control being bought over as a stable together tells me they're going to do stuff on TV with their split.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to just to have them split and leave the, you know, break the group up. And now Bayley's back to singles and maybe Dakota and Io are tagging on Raw or whatever. But no, I think they want to, I think there's stuff to explore. And they put too much time in the last 8 months into damage control. And they want to try to salvage something, make as far as Dakota and Io, get one of them women over as a bona fide star. And I think the way to do that is to feud them with Bayley and do something story-wise and make that compelling. So I think that's what we're going to get. And I think that's why they were bought over.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, we'll go to Chris in Warner Robins, Georgia next. Chris, thanks for holding. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, Wayne Travis. The question I have is, like, is Solo, was he conflicted because he didn't get the Murkus Brothers, or was he conflicted because Roman, he didn't, like, would be mad if he didn't complete his goal? Because either the turn for him could come in Monday, or I know they have a six-man tag at Backlash, or does he do it there? That's the kind of question
that's
for him.
That's right. So I said earlier, the turn could happen Monday, and even if the turn happened tonight, assuming that it is a turn on his brothers and, you know, they're kicking the Usos or at least one of them out, that would absolutely affect the sixth man in Puerto Rico in the week. So it happening at the show, at the pay-per-view, and not even Monday makes more sense. I think Monday you build the intrigue and you don't answer those questions that everybody, you know, the announcers, at least I hope, and the backstage interviewers, I hope, would ask Heyman or Solo, whoever, if they got a chance. What was the plan? What were you going to do? What were you sent down there to the ring to do? To help them? To hurt them? And they give us a reason to tune in for that sixth man. Like, well, look, last Friday wasn't the night, but this Saturday will be the night.
I'm enjoying the idea that Heyman is sending these signals that we can see behind the backs of the Usos. And, you know, normally I'm not for wrestlers not being aware of what airs nationally in front of millions of people. But you can imagine the Usos sort of being in denial or not wanting to even address why Heyman is saying things with a certain tone or looking a certain way that indicates maybe what the Usos are hearing isn't what Heyman is meaning. And I think it'll pay off. I think in the Bloodline storyline, I trust. I think, you know, Heyman and Reigns and everybody involved and the writers all, you know, Heyman's talked about it. They all contribute ideas. So this has been a solid, solid top shelf storyline for pro wrestling for so long. You get rewarded for paying attention. I don't think this will be a time when you're not rewarded for paying attention. But I'm with you. It's ambiguous enough. I do not know where this is leading. And tonight
we can have totally different perspectives, because I think, the Usos absolutely are aware. They are not oblivious to, especially with they can't be, because Sammy's throwing it in their face for the last 2 weeks. Like, hey, your brother's looking at you like he's going to take your head off. So I think they're doing the thing where they got a part to play. They've got a confidence that they got to show. They can't, because they need plausible deniability. Like, when we win our titles back and are back in the Bloodline, we're not even going to talk about it. We're just going to pretend like nothing happened. And because we never sold it or even had that look on our face, really, like, are they thinking about it? We'll be back in. But, of course, they know what's going on. But you could also think that they're just oblivious and power hungry or whatever kind of emotion and personality thing goes into it. And just don't know, and Roman's that good of a manipulator, and even if they do, whatever, it's the fact that you can look at it two different ways, and it makes sense, and it's not that's because it's silly and doesn't make sense. I think this, continues to be top-notch, top-tier wrestling storytelling.
What else for us, Chris?
We're trying to see who would be Reigns' like, new opponent, since, like, you know, I know the draft's not done yet, but, like, because I know Bobby sent, like, a little tweet out. He was like, you know, glad to be back in the Blue Land. And it's like he added Roman Reigns. So who could it be? AJ can run it back, maybe?
Travis, I feel it's a little early to, because we just don't know who's going to end up on SmackDown, so we can, you know, or the supplemental draft for that matter. It's just so few to pick from. But does anything in the draft tonight give you an idea of where they might be going?
No.
So Roman, yeah.
No.
Yeah, Chris, as I said earlier, I just don't think we have enough to work on where honestly, I'd almost spent a ton of time going, well, now it's this. It's going to be Roman against this person, because they might draft three people from the pool on Monday in the supplemental draft who are much better candidates. But nothing jumped out. I don't think AJ is going to be at that level. I don't think they're going to have AJ in Roman as a summer long feud or anything like that. I think it's more likely to be intra bloodline oriented. They move Gunther to Raw. So, you know, that I like that, because that takes him away from Roman. So Gunther can dominate as IC champ for longer. And that can be a match down the line that maybe people are intrigued with either Gunther or Reigns being babyfaced by the time they cross paths. And there's a lot more they can do with both of them in the meantime. But that is, you know, Gunther's been protected enough that in a way he's been eliminated as someone they're going to rush into that, which is good in a positive. Edge, Bobby Lashley. Of course, those are two names that are on SmackDown now, along with AJ, who could feud with him. But let's see how it shakes out over the next few days before we go too deep into looking at the likelihood of certain matchups for Roman at this point, including the big angle with whatever happens Monday with the Usos. You know, that could really shake things up and set the course for the bloodline for the next several months. Mm-hmm. We can eliminate Drew from that, though, now that he's staying on Raw. So they're not going to just go to Drew Roman. So, I guess we learned a little bit in terms of at least what some options are. Chris, what else?
Could it be that they call the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which is technically a belt Roman holds, are they just basically splitting this lineage back? It's like, okay, you had a Universal title first. We're going to hand it back to you. But I hand it back to Raw. Your 1,000 days with the Universal title. Just keep it that way. Because that's the way I kind of feel. It's like, yeah, Let's just forget that part and give it back to you.
I know.
I don't understand the thinking going into this. And then the caller earlier brought it up. They didn't even know what to call it. They're in the same sentence calling Roman Reigns, they're saying undisputed. And I was in the group chat last Monday. Like, how do you say undisputed and literally in the next breath bring up a new world heavyweight champion? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was just upset because the thing revolted me. Just look at it. Stupid. I love the big WW on the other belts, right? The big diamonds, all gaudy, and I love it. But the other one just looks like their logo in the middle of a belt, like branding, instead of big trophy, big championship belt. It's, here's a belt that we can brand and slap our logo on. But anyway, we'll go off on that again.
Yep. All right, Chris, any closing words?
Travis, don't hate me, but I actually kind of like the design. Don't hate me, but I don't hate it.
Plenty of people do.
I don't have a
time. I'm certainly not alone in it, but it's not like folks that hate it or think it's ugly or a melted glass ring. It's split. I'm sure we're probably even in the minority.
I think Roman has to get a new belt, though, sometime. But probably for 1,000 day on the 27th of May, maybe.
That'd be awesome. Is that a Friday?
It's a Saudi Arabia show, so it has to be somewhere around that. Either Saturday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be watching it. Damn.
Yep. They're not drawing attention to that, by the way, which is interesting. They say not a champion. They're not saying not a champion in Saudi Arabia, like they're saying Backlash in Puerto Rico. Yeah. At least they're not proud of it, but they know better. All right, Chris, appreciate your contribution.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you bet. Our number, if you want to get in line on the phone lines, is 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. It's not too late to get in line. 347-215-8558. We'll go to Joe in Albany, New York, and we've also got Carlos, Brad, and Kyle on hold. Joe, welcome. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about tonight's show?
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you. You know, I thought tonight's show was a good show. So far, kind of, I mean, I know we have another day to go, but I wasn't really super shocked by some of the draft picks so far. I don't really think anything has been that foundation shaking just yet, you know, given that I think a lot of people that I thought would stay on their show stayed on their show with, you know, Roman and Cody staying on Raw, The Miz staying on Raw, Matt Riddle staying on Raw, you know, Becky Lynch, and then I think it's fair to say that Seth Rollins will also stay on Raw because Becky Lynch is. I'm not saying that as like a good or bad thing. It's kind of interesting that they made it sound like this was going to be kind of, you know, turning it upside down, I guess. But
yeah.
I thought also the Bloodline storyline, you know, I thought it kind of picked up a little bit because I do feel we've been kind of in a holding pattern for the last couple weeks. As they've been trying to kind of wait to get to the draft and backlash and, you know, where they need to get to. But I think that we've kind of a lot of rematches and all that stuff. But I think that we're finally trying to starting to see maybe the bloodline taking shape. And that's what I was going to ask you guys. I personally think that Jey Uso, I think because everybody's throwing out Cody and who's next for Roman. I think that you guys are right, that the next story is going to be related to the bloodline, the kind of breakdown of the bloodline. And I'm hoping that the person that kind of is left standing is Jey Uso. What are our thoughts on that?
Explore that, Travis, and also yeah. Solo. Like, what are the options for Solo and Heyman? I mean, I'm not ruling out a pretty – there's a number of options where I can't rule out they go, including, you know, fast – accelerating a Reigns babyface turn with Solo and Heyman and Jimmy being the henchman. I can imagine a multiple pass. What do you think?
I think the Jey Uso being the last one standing, being maybe even the one to end Reigns' historic run, it could be the natural progression of, you know, just coming completely full circle. And a decent amount of people, Doc Bruce, he's been harping on this thing for 2 years, 3 years, however long they finally stopped feuding and Jey joined, you know, whatever that was in 20, at the end of 20 or somewhere in 21, Doc's been like, Jay's going to be the one to end it. It's got to end with Jey. And now they actually do that. But that means my thing earlier about Jey being drafted and them breaking up the Usos can't happen. He's got to stay on SmackDown with Roman to do that. And then subsequently, you know, feud with the guy. And that absolutely could be. Yeah, I'm with it. Summer long, you know, Jey Uso slowly but surely being accepted as somebody who the fans accept or just want to end Reigns'
main event reign. Jey Uso, man. Main event Jey Uso. I think that is when you talk about ending the story. We've heard that a lot now. What a better ending to a story. You know, this goes back to the pandemic days with the TV monitors in the arena, you know, and, Jey being the right-hand man and, like, feeling stifled by Roman. And only, you know, if we remember that he kind of just it was a reluctant rejoining, you know. His brother, they had that match, I think, in Hell in a Cell, and, Jimmy had to come back and, like, throw in the towel. I don't remember exactly how it went, but I know that it wasn't necessarily. I feel like Jey always reluctantly having to rejoin the family because he feels that that's what he has to do. And I can't wait for him, and I hope this is where they're going, for him to be like, you know, screw that. No, I'm I'm the head of the table. And I think that, yeah. So that's what I want to see.
And I think it's important for Jay, if they do that, for Sami Zayn not to be necessarily a catalyst. And, like, he can be there and it's supportive and
yeah.
somebody that, you know. But I don't want it to be about Sami Zayn. Like, Sami Zayn got his thing.
I agree with you. I think
be,
it's time. Maybe down the road, you know, far down the road when Jay's standing there at WrestleMania with the title or something and Sami hugs him. I don't know. But, you know, but that's cart before the horse, I guess. But I agree with you. I think that Sami needs to, I think that this, when the next stage of the story needs to be bloodline focused solely almost. And just one last thing I want before I go, what do you guys think now that we're doing two separate brands and I guess going to try to stick to that? I think it was the show that was talking about maybe having two separate general managers, not the heel general manager, like, but pretty much like, yeah. I guess Adam Pearce could take one show and then somebody else could take another show and kind of just make the decisions that need to be made. What do you guys think of that?
Just in terms of authority figure, on-air authority figures?
Yeah. I don't mean like, you know, the heel authority figure character that we've grown used to over the years. Just sort of, right, exactly. But sort of somebody, because, you know, make it logical, you know, like who's making the matches and whatnot. And I think that sometimes when Pierce appears on both shows, it can feel a little like, oh, it's all the same still. And maybe it would be cool if
I totally agree.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I think not the best candidate, but Jamie Noble, you know, he's there. He's always there. And just have him every once in a while show up and be the SmackDown guy and Pierce is the Raw guy or vice versa. Just, it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to be a weekly character who's having as much TV time and showing so much distress and angst over his middle management job and all the duties that come with it and the weight of the world on his shoulders. You don't have to tell that story with everyone, but just have Jamie Noble be a different type of on-air authority figure. He's like, these are the matches, and the answer is no, and don't make it into anything other than he just kind of holds his ground, and he doesn't appear every week. I mean, but I do think there should be two authority figures, each representing exclusively one brand or the other. I don't feel, like, super strong about the notion that this still is WWE, and I can imagine them just assigning Adam Pearce the job to oversee both. It's not, like, that big video, but I do think it's a step up if they want the roster split to feel more real, then have two different authority figures. Yeah. Travis?
Yep.
Yeah,
totally
Cole
agree.
Had
totally
a line. Cole had a line that alluded to kind of like, you know, like your team almost, like, you know, drafted to your show. And it's just like, who are you speaking for? There is no defined, you know, who's happy. But those people behind that door are people we don't know and wouldn't have any clue that they run Raw or SmackDown or anybody. Just have Adam Pearce on Raw and William Regal doing SmackDown, and I'll be perfectly fine with that, and have some kind of, if they're going to, they do a hard split, or they say it's going to be a hard brand split, and it's 6 weeks later, and we got crossover. Certainly 6 months later, we've got crossover or a pay-per-view that's got wherever it starts, and then eventually we get to where we've been since, you know, December or January.
I think they have the same certitude they're going to stick by at this time that we all do every January 1st with resolutions, and by, you know, January 3rd to 20th, you know, they're thinking this is a lot harder than we thought. So go ahead, Joe. Anything else you want to bring up?
No, I think that did it for me. I think I'll just end with I think we can all agree that with this brand split, if it's a hard one, I hope we don't have to go through the Survivor Series, you know, the one night a year where the Raw is backed out. But, you know, I think, can we just universally
brand
put that
loyalty
out there? Can we all just put that out there collectively to the WWE? Because I'm sure somebody from there listens. We never want to see that again. But other
you
than
didn't
that,
get it. You
I
didn't get much of that, if any, this year or in
no. I'm saying that's
November.
Right, and I want it. Yeah. I want that to continue. I love that we didn't have it this past year, and I think that going forward, let's just find a way where we don't have to do the red shirts versus the blue shirts, and I think that'll make me personally pretty happy. Thanks, guys, for taking the time.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Well Charles,
remember we had bragging rights and Survivor Series in the same year for a couple years at one point. So we had to do that twice and pretend like it would be bragging rights. Remember one year bragging rights was basically in June, and they did the draft in, you know, April or May like they always do. And then a month later, we had to pretend like these bitter rivals, like, wait, you were just on that show. Now you hate them. Now you're cutting promos about how SmackDown sucks or Raw. So, yeah, it's silly. Go ahead.
What do you think of the Street Profits having all blue outfits to commemorate moving to SmackDown?
It was fine.
Did they just pack both just in case? Or were they tipped off ahead of time?
Well, I thought the same with the OC. Like, wait, how'd they know they were going to be all together?
And to go back to...
I guess they declared themselves, so...
Yeah, and to go back to the point Nick made about so many people not being there, they are. Cody and Balor and Lashley and Theory and Bronson and Seth and Miz and Dominic even. Trying to think who else besides Bianca and Bayley too. And they're all overseas, you know, on a tour. So, you know, they couldn't
also, that would have gotten tiring. They wouldn't have had time to do other things on the show if, you know, more of your favorites got to come out. And come out to do what? To say, just wave?
Yeah. All right, let's go to Carlos next, and then Brad, you are up next. After that, you're on deck. Carlos, welcome back. What are your thoughts on tonight's SmackDown?
My thoughts on tonight's SmackDown are a bit kind of weird. I had to watch SmackDown, and, you know, I'm on the West Coast. I couldn't find an English Fox feed. So I watched it in Spanish. I was also at work, so I only got to watch about the first hour before I had to go into a meeting. I wanted to hit on the Bianca getting drafted, but, you know, someone else already went over that, so I'm just going to skip entirely over that. You know, I think it's been talked about enough. What about Austin Theory? Like, what? I don't know if I caught you guys talking at all about Austin Theory, but what does that have to say about where he is on the totem pole of things, what to say about his championship belt, and I'll just leave it at that. I'm on my lunch break, so I'll take your answer off the line.
Well, I think you're doing the thing that I was doing, and I had to remind myself, half and half, only half the roster, half of each roster, or however it was done, was available. So you don't have to answer those questions about where does that leave? What does that mean for Austin Theory that he wasn't even talked about? Like, well, he wasn't talked about because he wasn't in this batch of eligible wrestlers. And I was thinking about Seth Rollins, and you're thinking about Austin Theory. And Wade said they did it. That was a clever way of, you know, not having to deal with that, and it absolutely is. So
yeah. So I mean, some big names who were not eligible tonight. And this is an exhaustive, but Austin Theory, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman and Ricochet, Bronson Reed, Charlotte, Karrion Kross, Kevin Owens and Sammy, their fate. Like I said, maybe they get split up. LA Knight, Rhea Ripley, who I presume is going to be drafted to Raw. Ronda Rousey, remember her? And Shayna Baszler. The Usos, as we've already talked about, Trish Stratus. There's a lot of names who, you know, were not eligible. I'm thinking, who's the biggest name eligible who wasn't drafted tonight? Omos, just given how he's pushed, would seem like someone who they might have. Vince McMahon would have been, oh, we got to draft him the first night. He's tall. But other than that, I think they really hit the... It's a pretty big drop off. You know, that like the next biggest name not drafted is the Viking Raiders were drafted. I guess there weren't really any big names, honestly, on the list that were eligible who weren't drafted. You know, that you're surprised that they're going to be drafted in the supplemental draft. So, you know, with all due respect to Dexter Lumis and Hit Row. All right. Carlos, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you sneaking in a chance to ask a question. All right, we'll go to, as promised, Brad in Florida next. Brad, thanks for holding. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, Travis. Hey, Wade. Carlos has got quite a late lunch break. Jeez, some lunch. I mean, lunch is
well, he's on the West Coast.
Midnight.
So,
it's only 1 p.m. on the West Coast.
Late lunch. That is a damn late lunch. But I guess he has breakfast at, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
People work second shift.
6 p.m.
He slept till 4 and got up, went to work.
There you go. I respect the hell out of it. I'm just kidding around. So I found the draft, like, really puzzling, honestly. Like, especially the NXT picks, and I'm not saying you guys, you know, I don't know how into NXT you guys are or not at all, but, you know, picking the championship the champions from the tag team division there on the women's side, and picking Indi Hartwell, the champion of NXT. I know that all three of them have paid their dues, but you know, you'd expect to see on a platform like this, maybe like bigger names from NXT. Like, they're not even, you know, really headliners on NXT, even though they are the champions. I know that sounds weird, but it's more, you know, Cora Jade, Bron Breakker, Roxanne Perez, you know, those types, and Grayson Waller, you know, Carmelo Hayes. I'm really surprised it wasn't them that they would showcase for that sort of part of the draft.
Let me pause you, Brad, so I don't lose the things I want to say about that. One, Triple H said certain people from NXT are eligible, but not all of them. And they didn't explain that process. And that, I guess, would be, if there is an explanation, that would not just sound like completely BS.
What could it be? Because you can't say, well, the champions aren't, because two champions were taken. Champions that have reigned but for so long.
That's a thing. I mean, do you say, like, well, we make people eligible who we think are ready, but what does that say about then the people who aren't eligible? Or does Shawn Michaels get to, like, protect six? You know, it's like, you know, a protected draft pick.
Michaels threw up his card because you're supposed to think, well, two of his champions are gone. But I love Indi, certainly, but I don't think they're going to be, like...
I'd take Roxanne Perez above Indi, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, that might be one of the things we just have to give them a little mulligan on, because it is a little complicated. You know, do you draft the biggest names from NXT or just the ones who are eligible? If you don't tell us who's eligible, then no feelings are hurt. There's no politics involved. They did pick champions, so that makes sense. If you're a champion, you should be the ones that Raw SmackDown people want, because that should reflect you're the best.
Did Michaels... Triple H, because remember when Triple H didn't want, it was like Joe and Balor were down there, and he sent up, Triple H gave Vince Apollo Crews and the Soft, S-A-W-F, those two.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, well, not Joe and not Tim Balor or these other bigger, and it was like he kind of like tricked Vince into, you know, like, sure, the Soft guys were over, and they had the catchphrases, and he could sell that like they were going to sell merch, Vince, and they for sure did. But he got to keep the guys that he was selling NXT and doing big business, certainly good, fun, exciting TV with every week. And I think Michaels was like, yeah, no, take chance. You're going to get two champions? You know, that's, oh, this is going to hurt. Oh, no, please don't take Isla Dawn and, you know, Alba Fire, Triple H. Don't. No.
There's too many stories over the years where, like, Minnesota sports teams were tricked by a more savvy GM in another city, going, oh, don't take this guy. He did poorly on the aptitude test. Or, oh, yeah, that knee's never going to get better. And then, of course, that guy drafts him when you bypass him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be games like that going on. I'm not going to be too hung up on it, because I think they covered the other base as well. But I think if there was a number one critique, if you are a stickler for logic, context, structure, it would be the NXT aspect of it. In fact,
had NXT a part of it.
Well, that's what I was going to say before you jumped in with your thought, because great minds think alike. No, I'm fine with that. Like, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, I'm going down the same road. Maybe keep NXT out of it, because it is kind of hard to make sense. So just have NXT call-ups happen in a different way. And in a sense, then the wrestlers get a different kind of spotlight where they're not lost in the mix with all the other trades. Or
yeah,
the other,
I'd rather NXT folks, the unpredictability of they could get called up anytime during the year. It depends on what's needed or how folks are doing or whatever. I like when NXT people weren't, it wasn't necessarily just the Raw after Mania, when folks would show up and debut and, you know, like your Robert Roode's or your Drew McIntyre's or whoever. I like them just, if they show up in August, then, you know, like they get signed in August. Like trades and signings happen all throughout the year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Off seasons, on season, yeah.
Brad, back to you.
Yeah, I mean, how SmackDown, like, picked Edge and, you know, and Edge is hardly on TV, even on Raw now.
What a terrible thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just weird. And
Brad, pause. Elaborate, Travis.
I guess this is really about who's available and whatever, yeah. And you did go down the list of, you know, the next biggest person that was available is Omos, and then, you know, maybe a Viking Raider or something. So I guess in that, when you're dealing with when you're looking at it like that, it's not. But Edge being a top pick when he's openly saying he's got a year left in him at most is stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're treating it like a draft and like
no, I totally. I threw to you because I wanted you to make that point because you made both points. One, he's a big name and drafts happen every year, so you get him for 1 year. Hey, that's a win for the brand over whatever other choices they had. I'd have to look at who was drafted right after him. That would be, I guess, more relevant or a key. I shouldn't say more, but a key factor in this. So let me do a search here. Edge's name came up. Why will my search function not work here?
Yeah, we ran through them earlier. We got voted. Yeah, so we got drafted with who?
Yeah, so we had Edge and then
Riddle.
Yeah. Riddle. So, and then Drew. So you could have had Drew instead of Edge. So that to me jumps out as unless you know the storyline is Drew's not under contract and Edge is. You know, if you're going to play that up. But yeah, I would certainly have taken Drew. And you can make an argument for Nakamura, too. You know, I mean, he's over Edge at this point, you know, with what Edge has been through. So,
yeah.
Anyway, no, it's not egregious, but, yeah, it jumps out a little bit. But, you know, if you get a year of him and then there's the draft next year, you can replenish, I guess, if you're representing SmackDown. But I guess you could argue Lashley should have been taken before Edge. You know, I mean, if you're Bobby Lashley, you're thinking, why did this guy
Absolutely.
Near retirement? Yeah, so just even within the brand itself.
Man,
right?
I'm on the run of my life. And
yeah,
this guy,
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if we were to rank the most head-scratching early picks, I do think Edge would be the first one you would come across. And then you would say, really, The Miz ahead of Nakamura or, you know, whoever is eligible in NXT for that matter if you're drafting for the future? So anyway, Brad, I paused you. Go ahead.
No, all good. But you could say, you know, that The Miz brings the entertainment value by Miz TV and the things that he does. And I'm not saying from I'm saying even from a wrestling standpoint, you could say like, well, The Miz, you know, it is a choreographer of a lot of the things that this show does. So he's valuable. So whatever. But like, again, like even just the way that they did it. And I thought it was I actually really liked the episode. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was good. But like, if you're going to go up there and just announce four picks and you're going to have no one basically come out, you're not going to have anyone, you know, come out and, you know, I don't want to say wave to the crowd, but do like a little entrance after they get picked. If you're just going to say a name, flash their stats on the screen and then move on, you could do more than four, you know, two and two and then back to whatever. Like you could do four and four and go back. Like there's no reason to have, you know, half of the draft tomorrow morning on this SmackDown Lowdown. So
yes,
on Peacock,
yes, there
no
is.
One watches.
But that means in the main event time of your show, or however, you know, right before your main event segment, you're not going backwards. You're not picking from 10 to 1. They're picking 1 at 8 o'clock, you know, 8 Eastern. So that means pick, you know, 17 is going to be, or whatever, 36 or whatever is going to be. be picked late in the show, and it's going to be, you know, Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really what you want on TV. So you want to kind of end it with folks that people consider stars, even if they're getting drafted, you know, 10th or 12th
no,
or whatever.
I hear you, Travis. I hear you, Travis. Absolutely. No, I hear you on that. And, you know, look, that's why I'm not doing the show, and they are, you know. But it's like, I don't know, I just felt like, you know, especially with the NXT picks, they could have brought a little bit more firepower to it to make it a little bit more exciting than Isla Dawn and, you know, and whatever. But on the Usos, you know, I really – and please forgive me if you guys touched upon this earlier. I watched SmackDown on a delay, and I didn't exactly catch the beginning of your show. I called in when I forget who was on earlier, but I think it was Chris. But did you guys feel like there was a sympathetic angle towards the Usos? Was that Heyman sending Solo out there to cheat on the Usos' behalf, like this is your moment to help them win the title, or to kill the Usos? Because I felt there was more to destroy the Usos for some reason. Was that what you guys felt out of that, or did you feel – that he was sent out there to go get them these championships. This is your moment. Because Heyman had a real bastardly evil look on his face during that segment. Like,
bad. They were not subtle at all. And they really haven't been subtle. Heyman specifically throughout this. And with his, when he does his behind someone's back, you know, when he's looking at folks. And even Roman Reigns, if you watch Paul Heyman when Roman Reigns is talking, it's like when Mike Pence would stand next to Donald Trump for all those years, and it's just fawning, like, you know, saintly look in his eyes, like, oh, I worship this man. And the various looks Heyman has when other folks are talking and he's behind them, Uso specifically. I think the idea was, yes, it was that he was to go out there and for whatever reason and beat up the Usos and turn on them, but they have enough plausible deniability where, just because of history and how long this thing's been going, that of course Solo's out there to help his brothers. You could do that thing, right? You know, what do you think, I've sent him out there to tear his own family apart? Like, no way. I'm not that kind of human being. You could play it that way, but I think it was pretty obvious. they weren't subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they have left it just ambiguous enough where we can speculate about options other than just one obvious one. And Solo has played it so close to the vest in terms of his reactions to things. And he is a character that is pliable. They can change their mind later, and we'll look back and go, oh, they dropped hints brilliantly for what he does, even if it wasn't what they originally planned for him, because he is that open for interpretation. You know, what's the good analogy for everybody sees something different and it draws a different conclusion from the same thing. There's a cool go-to thing I can't think of for that, but
in this guy, you know, it looks like a rabbit. That actually looks like a goblin to me, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's cool, and I honestly don't. I don't even have a favorite scenario in my head of, or, you know, a obvious top candidate of where this is going, where, you know, you're like, well, it's obviously almost for sure this, but we can entertain another alternative or two. Was he going to send Solo to the ring and we're going to, you know, we're supposed to believe, yeah, it was just to destroy the Usos or help them win so it could be held over their heads. And now they're just angry at Riddle for getting in the way. And so it forwards that storyline. But I mean, If the idea is Solo, it's your night. Solo, go help the Usos win. We can't take any chances, and then we'll hold it over the Usos' head that the Tribal Chief had to send help because the Usos couldn't get it done on their
That's
own.
It's not exactly Solo's night, though. That doesn't make
well,
sense.
Well, it is if Reigns and Heyman celebrate Solo preventing the Usos from humiliating the Tribal Chief, then they can put the Usos could have, like, for instance, in my mind, I could imagine the Usos showing up next time Reigns is around and going, we made you proud. And Reigns is like, no, you didn't. You guys, we gave you 10 minutes to win. You guys looked like you're in trouble. And then I sent Solo to the ring and make sure you won. So
wow.
Solo, you get all the credit. You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's
Roman
that's,
is sociopathic enough to do to say something like that. That's kind of been his thing.
Yep. All right, Brad, back to you for
10 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, just my. I mean, it was just a little bit obviously ambiguous, like you said, and a little bit weird and strange that why would he be sent out there to kill his own brothers? But I guess that was his loyalty test to the tribal chief, and that's why it was his night. That's kind of the way that I took it. But whatever. No, thanks, guys. Great show, and I'm going to enjoy listening to the rest. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. If you are joining us midstream, I know some of you watched SmackDown on delay. We've heard from a couple of you. Feel free to call. Don't worry if we already covered the topic. We want to hear your opinion too. 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. You can also still email us at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Travis, were you going to jump in with something?
Yeah, they've been playing this.
Or were you going to sneeze?
That's you. Sammy even brought up, one of the biggest issues with the bloodline in him at the end was having jumped through all these hoops and all these tests and proving himself week after week. And they could play that up with Solo. Like when you said it, it's like, oh, that actually does work with Roman's personality of testing everybody every chance he gets. He's making sure everybody's still toeing the line, not just by, you know, the little things, but he puts something in front of them and make them choose and make it very obvious he's testing them. And that could just be another kind of another step in this in the Roman bloodline, you know, patriarch personality.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Kyle in Baltimore next. Kyle, thanks for holding. What's in your mind about tonight's SmackDown?
So I guess from tonight, I was kind of, now that tonight is over with and I saw who was drafted, for the most part, I'll say that SmackDown kind of got the upper hand so far right now in terms of who got drafted, at least for tonight. It's like, whoa. It's like, okay. Because that I was kind of
like
surprised
13,
that
it's like, Kyle, SmackDown got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 wrestlers. Raw got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it's 16 to 10, and Raw's the 3-hour show. So I mean, not that numbers is everything, but I meant to bring that up earlier. Like, SmackDown's just taking tons of people with, you know, tons of factions, and Raw's kind of, you know, other than Imperium, kind of just picking them one at a time. So go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, and it's just, I was like, okay, wow, they really want me to watch SmackDown even more what I was into for that was having they put Bianca on SmackDown like they did with Becky and Charlotte 2 years ago. So I was like, okay, here we go again with that, I guess. So whatever. But I am happy that Becky stayed on Raw because that makes sense to me. And because what they did, they put Bianca on SmackDown, they put Rhea on Raw, which would be good because I think that's a Rhea and Becky, their face off. I was like, okay, there we go. That's why I was wanting to see that match. And now it's the possibility of going to see it. So I'm happy about that. But the fact that they drafted Bianca to SmackDown, and what do you think about that? And do you think it's going to be another thing where they're going to do a title swap like you did with Becky and Charlotte 2 years ago?
Yeah, we covered that earlier, Kyle. We're dreading the possibility of two wrestlers standing in the ring swapping titles.
You curse.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess they could reenact, a little shoot situation with Charlotte and Becky. What do you think, Travis?
I'm hoping there's a, well, again, I don't think, like I said earlier, I don't think they could do something like like they did with Triple H and do that with Bianca, because they already had her cut a promo saying how excited she is to be back and coming back to SmackDown. So they're going to switch, like, unless Rhea stays and they now have two champions. Or two, yeah.
Well, Zelina Vega, look at us disrespecting Zelina Vega. She could be the Rey Mysterio of the women's division and an underdog. But that could relieve Yeah.
So you're saying the LWO or at least Zelina Vega end up on Raw and then she wins in Puerto Rico on Saturday next Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. And then you have Rhea Ripley just going, I want you, Bianca. I lost my title. I want your title.
Would be terrible.
Yeah. Well, I'm I'm not pitching ideas. I'm as much as saying I could, that is an out for them to avoid the belt swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, we're going to get a belt swap, and it's going to be tense, and it's going to hopefully play into where, maybe next, WrestleMania 40, if Bianca's still champion and Rhea's still champion by then, we can finally get that match that I think should have been the match at WrestleMania instead of Rhea and Charlotte. So maybe this is just another kind of a start, another step in that direction.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, back to you.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I wasn't expecting Bianca to get drafted. It's not that at all. I was kind of shocked by that. I wanted to talk about the World Heavyweight Championship on Raw, because I get to talk about it on Raw, so they call in. But I personally like it because I grew up watching the World Heavyweight Championship when it was on Edge, because as I said before, when I started watching wrestling in 2008, 2009, Edge was the first person I saw it. He had the World Heavyweight Championship. So for me, I grew up watching the World Heavyweight Championship in that version of the title.
Was he feuding with Kane during that run?
That was 2010-ish. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. I just remember one of those runs was so bad, and if that was like your first, I guess if you're a kid, it doesn't matter.
I was 13, so yeah, I did. So of course, I went. I remember I didn't really like that. I think when that title really, for me, that I liked it was when it was the next year, 2011, with Edge, Randy Orton and Christian. That's when I really got into that period of the world title being around. So for me, I do like the fact that they have that belt back, but I just don't know why they had to having Reigns having both championships was a big problem. I think what they did, what they did with Becky Lynch, where did he just been champion for only a few months, and had to do like a quick pin, and then it would have been fine because it would have been similar to that, because that's how I would have done. I don't know. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. But for all that being said, now that the title does exist, I don't know where Rollins is going. Who knows? We'll find out on Monday. But I feel like that it will make sense to me for Rollins to go to SmackDown, because he still hasn't defeated Roman Reigns. He's standing on Raw this past week saying that that Reigns defeated everyone on planet Earth but him. So he never got pinned. He never got submitted. He got DQ'd. And now a lot of people don't think about that or some people don't really care about that stack. They want to keep talking about Cody Rhodes should take the title from Reigns and finish the story, whatever that means. I still think it's – I don't know. But for Seth Rollins, it makes the most sense for him, in my opinion, to defeat Roman Reigns, because it just makes the most sense to me. But we'll see. I don't know. But evolving this title and stuff just as a whole, I don't know. I was expecting Rollins to be on Raw since Becky's on Raw. So he probably is going to revisit the feud between Rhodes and Rollins, so what do you think about that as a whole, just for the championship that they brought it up, and what do you think about the fact that a lot of people complain about it, but yet I find it okay, but what do you think?
Okay, so Travis, you made real clear how you feel about that title, being having two titles, but let's talk about what Kyle brought up, which is Becky's on Raw, means Seth will probably be on Raw, which means Rob will likely feature Cody, Seth, Drew, and Riddle as four potential finalists in the tournament. The other big, I'm trying to think of like another, Austin Theory is probably going to SmackDown because he's U.S. champ and Gunther got drafted to Raw. That would take him out of the tournament. Kevin Owens and Sammy, one of them, even though as tag champs, like I guess one of them could make it to the semifinals. Brock Lesnar, I guess, could be in the semifinals. So what jumps out to you is like maybe a final four of however they go about crowning the champion. And do you have a favorite? Do you think it's Seth and Cody in the finals and they revisit that as both baby faces? Or does Drew enter the tournament and he turns heel and wins it? Keeping Cody from winning a title, that doesn't really complete Cody's story anyway. Where are you on the different scenarios with the new information we have tonight?
I think Seth Rollins is going to be the ultimate winner of the thing, the first champion, or whatever, first. Is there a lineage? Is this a new title? Is it a... Yeah. I think it'll be Seth. I think they want to. They specifically won't put it on Cody, at least at first, to avoid the consolation prize thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hope
every meme. It was just meme-tastic when that belt got shown, and it was just the directions that folks went in. It was great. Just internet creativity, but one that was very, the hit was like, here's my consolation prize, or thanks for my consolation prize, WWE, and it's Cody holding that new title. The most famous one was Roman holding up, it was photoshopped on Roman's waist, and he's holding up the two titles he has plus the new one. That was an awesome image. It's awesome to think about, like, oh my god, all that, and then somehow Roman ends up winning that title. Like, see, that's why they never stopped calling me Undisputed champion. But yeah,
how do you feel about Drew McIntyre right now in the role that he should have, the role that he had in the past, and kind of cooling off, doing the stuff with Sheamus? Where do you want him to be? Where do you see him ending up at this point?
I don't have a ton of thoughts on Drew McIntyre. He's not like a favorite of mine. I don't think about him a ton.
Yeah.
You know, outside of, you know, when he's featured and stuff that I have to kind of watch. But I don't really, I think he's a perennial contender, sometimes champion, certainly a guy you can go to in a pinch.
Yeah, I'm curious if he got the money he wanted that they weren't offering him at first because they felt like, oh, he could be valuable for AEW and we kind of need the depth and he's, you know, ultimately a good, reliable guy who's, you know, around Roman's age and we don't know how Roman's going to be around. If they ended up, like, giving in and paying him a lot, mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of insight into negotiations, but I just – the sense was and the reporting was that there was a bit of an impasse, and that's why he was pulled from that SmackDown lineup, not other reasons. So, but it could have been partially wear and tear from his pay-per-view match too. But nevertheless – if they paid a lot for him, they're going to want to push him and get their money's worth. And it might motivate them to go, all right, you drove a hard bargain and respect that handshake deal. Now we're paying you this. We got to get our money out of it. And they lean on him hard. And I'm not ruling out that this tournament isn't bringing Drew back to where he was in the lead up to that Survivor Series, when it was two guys within months of each other in age, each with championships, having the champ versus champ match, where there was actually a mystery at that point. Who should win, Drew or Roman? Will they protect either of them? You know, they might try to get Roman back to, or Reigns, they might try to get Drew back to that level and not have it be obvious he's subservient to Reigns. I hope they can, yeah. I mean, the two title thing is bad. Now that it's happened, I want them to make the best of it. And part of that is having the championships feel as equal as possible. Some might argue, no, they shouldn't. The Reigns of Belt should still seem more important, but that completely defeats the purpose of doing this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kyle, back to you for anything else.
Yeah, I guess we'll just see what happens within the tournament at Night Champions. But I think what I talked about was the NXT call-ups. So I was kind of surprised a little bit of who they decided to call up. I was expecting them to call up Roxanne Perez, like, right away yeah. Tonight. I thought it was going to happen. I thought she was going to be eligible to be drafted, or someone like, also like, also heard people talk about Grayson Waller or even Pretty Deadly Beach grabbed the two, but not having the NXT Women's Champion herself, who I'm surprised he even retained on Tuesday, by the way. It was like the way they decided they did that, and they pinned Rock, and she also pinned Roxanne. So I was thinking, okay, so she's definitely going to be drafted to the main roster, Roxanne.
That could still happen.
The indie. Yeah, it could. For on tomorrow or Raw, so we'll see. But what do you think about that, just having Indy Hartwell, who's the NXT Women's Champion, being drafted and also injured? So what do you think about that, and where do you think that's going to lead?
Yeah, we talked about the tag titles and how those could change hands. It'd be weird to have the NXT champ. I guess they could just have the women NXT fight for contendership, and Indy's obligation is to show up and defend on the next takeover type special. But otherwise, she's full-time on the main roster. What do you think, Travis? How do you handle the logistics of that if you're WWE?
Yeah, they have options with the tag titles. They could certainly have Carter and Katana win tomorrow night and freeing up Dawn and Fire. But with Indy, if she can't wrestle to drop her title, do they strip her of the NXT title? I mean, we've seen that where started with Paige, where she had to turn her championship over when she got called up the night after, you know, Mania 30. They're not locked into one way of thinking. They can do whatever they want. There's not a hard and fast rule of what they can or can't do. Rhea was defending her NXT championship while being on the main roster, 4 or 5 years ago. So I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, anything else for us?
So I think the last thing I'll just bring up is that the Usos and Sami and Owens, I think also too, what I saw too, said the Usos are going to be drafted separately. I kind of knew that already, because I looked at the list earlier today of who's going to be eligible to be drafted, that the Usos were going to be drafted separately. The Judgment Day is going to be drafted separately. Rhea Ripley's be drafted by herself, and all the rest of Judgment Day is going to be drafted together. So that's going to be interesting of where they're going to go. I expected Rhea to go to SmackDown, but for the whole rest of the Judgment Day, they could go to Raw. So that's interesting. But the fact that they laid it out that way on their website that I just saw, I was like, whoa, that's interesting. So, but I'll leave you with that. But thanks for my call.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Anything you want to say to that, Travis?
I don't know about breaking the Judgment Day up. I mean, they're not like can't miss, you know, faction, but so much has gone through them.
Yeah.
Like so many, you think of Edge, you think of Ray. They were just a catalyst of like some quality stuff over last year. Dom getting over the way he's over,
he is.
And
that's
and
real heel heat.
Rhea specifically. A bit of a rehab project with Finn, getting him back to. So I'm not sure if I'm ready for them to be over. I'd rather them end because it was time for the faction to break up and they had friction, or give me some TV, some story out of it. Not, the draft broke them up when there's still story to tell with them.
Yeah. All right, speaking of NXT, Chris from Oklahoma wasn't able to call in, but he did email. He said, I was really interested in seeing how NXT was utilized in the draft with the tag champions and women champions being drafted. I really was surprised at this, honestly. I was curious that the Bloodline wasn't mentioned when being drafted, but considering the tag match, I wasn't interested. But now would it work to have the Usos go to Raw? We kind of covered those topics already. But I do think I think one of the talking points coming out of this, and it's reflective in Chris's email, is how are, for people who follow NXT, they got to be wondering what is what how's this going to be handled? You know, I mean, if you care about NXT integrity, that's a show you watch every week, and you're invested in the champions and you're invested in the wrestlers, and then they just get picked apart like a minor league hockey team who's playing for a championship, but they got to send players up to cover for injured players in the NHL team, and everything just falls apart. Like, you're invested in these storylines. You can't just, I mean, I know you have to watch NXT knowing it's, quote, the minor league, but you know WWE has total control over when and how they pull people from the company and the storyline. So, you know, I know they played it up as Michaels has all this, you know, distress over losing some top names, but you also, that only goes so far. You've got to make sure you serve the NXT audience with a satisfying follow-up to what they did tonight.
Yeah, I think they're set up to do that. Again, like I said, I think they'll NXT made out. I think they'll be fine. But obviously, Monday can still happen. I got to remind myself that Monday could just destroy them even more. You know, all the top talent ends up on Raw or SmackDown after Monday. But I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. A couple other things before I wrap up here. What do you make of Michael Cole? The official line for Triple H to call him is the man who runs a place, the guy who runs this place. And we came out, Cole called him that. And it does feel like they're trying to overcompensate for the negative publicity of Vince coming back and all the, you know, headlines of Vince meddling and, you know, interjecting things and changing things. Sometimes, you know, and by the way, there's a couple of wrestlers I talked to in WWE who are glad Vince is back. And they think he has good ideas, and they think there's some biases that Hunter has in his booking that Vince doesn't, and it will help them. I just throw that out there just for the sake of saying not everybody in the locker room. I know for a fact not everybody in the locker room is against Vince's meddling and getting in the weeds occasionally. That said, it is not good PR. Now, Triple H is the babyface promoter of the past couple of years, kind of overtaking Tony Khan in a way, and he had been working hard to build that reputation up in NXT for a while with those great takeover specials and booking guys that Vince McMahon was apt to want to be a manager instead of a champion, Adam Cole, that kind of thing. So I think marketing-wise, it's good to say, you know, he's the guy who runs the place, but it also just makes sense to, you know, have him as the figurehead, in addition, regardless of what his real life role is. He's a good guy to stand out there and run the ship and look like there's a guy in control. And he got to interject, you know how I'm about rules. I'm going to go over the rules, you know, a little self-deprecating and little comments. He's true to himself and how he's portraying himself. He doesn't seem like a total sellout as the guy who was anti-authority back in the day. So I guess I'm just kind of throwing to you, what do you think about how Triple H handled things tonight and how WWE is framing him and featuring him lately, even though you didn't like the announcement on Monday?
Yeah.
On Raw, just the artistic presentation of Hunter's character now.
Yeah, I even appreciate him when the whole gang's together and he's got to be leather jacket Triple H for the night, and he, you know, with DX or whoever, and Nash and those guys are out there hanging out with him on TV. It's not Nash, but you know what I mean. He's fine. He's perfectly fine. He does what he has to do. He does it well. He has all the credibility in the world. Yeah, I mean, yeah. For he checks off all the boxes. Wait, I don't. I wish he really, absolutely was the guy that had the last word and say so on all things creative.
Yeah. We did bury the headline of this whole show because LA Knight got a win on TV.
The LWO got a win on TV. Like, how about that? I mean, Zelina Vega beating the they got the win. They don't win it.
And it was just like a clean win out of nowhere. But the LA Knight thing. The crowd's into him. They're chanting his name during a match, which Cole acknowledged. He didn't run from it. I don't really know how we're supposed to feel at Butch and Sheamus anyway, but what do you make of LA Knight getting a win after he had been kind of, you know, losing, but the crowd's behind him and like him? Just this isn't really related to the draft or anything else we're talking about, just LA Knight itself. Where are you on him?
Yeah, I like LA Knight. I'm a fan. Not a big fan. I'm a fan. I just like the guy in whatever role that he's put on TV to do. I like his heel stuff. Why not push the guy that's – there was a thing that said, oh, LA Knight's in line so far to be to win Money in the Bank. It's like he's losing to Xavier Woods and, you know, on TV and this guy on TV. How is he going to be ready by June or July to be Money in the Bank winner? Hopefully this is, you know, a turnaround. Like, you even notice, hey, he got a win because he doesn't get wins often. I like him. I think they should let him talk more. I think that's his obvious strong point. He's a fine enough wrestler. But I think they should make a point of just letting him talk. Like, yeah, tonight, like, I would have – they should, well, I guess they had to show you the previously on, and I guess that technically was him talking, even though it was a replay of him talking. But we got something, and then he won. So I was happy.
Yeah.
I'm an LA Knight fan.
Yep. Anything else from the show that none of us have brought up, callers, emailers, me, that you want to bring up from the show, Travis?
No, I think we covered all the important stuff. I don't think there was any falling through the cracks. Well, Sonya Deville not getting an intro.
Yeah.
Being in that jobber spot after the commercial break wasn't so great.
You happy the Street Profits are on SmackDown and still a team, and they
I was mentally like prepared for them to be broken up, Wade.
Yeah.
I was ready. I think I'm ready. Like, as a fan of both those guys,
mm-hmm.
Either way, like, if they're going to keep doing stuff, tagging, there's a story to tell with that. But I was definitely mentally prepared for Montez to get drafted to SmackDown, let's say, and Dawkins gets left on Raw. But
boy, they would have looked foolish with these other factions declaring themselves singular draft picks and not doing so for themselves.
No,
like,
right.
They set themselves up for that. But yeah.
And if one had on the red outfit and the other had on the blue outfit, that would
that actually have been funny if they were shown backstage and like, you wore red, you wore blue. What's going on? Well, all right. Cool. Well, we'll wrap up there. Travis, fun having you on for the show. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, man, you get me on for these notable shows. It's been fun the last three or four times I've been on. It's always a happening.
So plug some stuff. What do you want people to know that you're up to?
Get a Torch subscription if you don't have one. That way you can listen to Rich and I most Wednesdays. I say every Wednesday, but most Wednesdays. So Thursday morning, you get to hear Rich and I talk about run the gamut of everything. Me specifically, go out of my way to talk about everything not wrestling, and then we wind it back to maybe brush on a wrestling topic or two. Certainly Rich recaps Dynamite, but yeah, we talk about any and everything on that show. So tweet me or at TravLord or Rich at Rich_fan with two N's. And let us know or email us at eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. Send us some email, send us some questions in the email form, and we'll talk about them on the show.
Sounds great. Travis, thanks so much for your co-hosting tonight.
Appreciate the invite, Wade. Thanks.
You bet. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.